KJAN Sports.
Time for a check of sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. The Tampa Bay Rays clinched the American League wild card with a stunning rally Wednesday night, overcoming a late 7-run deficit and then beating the New York Yankees 8-7 on Evan Longoria's home run in the 12th inning. The Rays' win came 4 minutes after Boston blew a 1-run lead in the 9th at Baltimore and lost 4-3. The Red Sox, who held a 9-game lead over the Rays in early September, and Tampa Bay began the final day of the regular season tied for the wild card. Longoria hit a 3-run homer in the 8th inning that capped off a 6-run rally. Pinch hitter Dan Johnson's 2-out, 2-strike solo homer in the 9th tied it up for Tampa Bay. Longoria then won it with his 1-out shot that barely made it inside the left field foul pole. Tampa Bay will open up the playoffs Friday at Texas. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals have extended their season by at least a day. 5 different players drove in runs while the Redbirds erupted for 5 runs in the first inning of an 8-0 shutout of Houston. Chris Carpenter fired a 2-hitter, struck out 11, and delivered an RBI single that put the Cards up 6-0. Now, the Cards won the wild card outright when the Atlanta Braves blew a 3-2 lead in the 9th, and they ended up tied 3-3 with Philadelphia heading into the 11th inning. The Phillies ended up winning that ball game in 13 innings, 4-3, to knock Atlanta out of the wild card chase and gives St. Louis the opportunity to face the Phillies in the division series. Another interesting race last night was for the National League batting title. The New York Mets shortstop Jose Reyes pulled himself out of the Mets game against Cincinnati after a bunt single in the first inning. That left him with a .337 batting average. Milwaukee outfielder Ryan Braun was the only player with a chance to beat Reyes for the title entering last night's game, but he was hitless in his first 3 at-bats, dropping his average to .333. In other National League finals, the Mets beat the Reds 3-0 behind Mike Baxter's first major league homer. Kevin Kuzmanoff had 3 hits and drove in 2 as Colorado doubled up San Francisco 6-3. Steven Strasburg struck out 10 while allowing just 1 hit over 6 shutout innings to lead Washington past Florida 3-1. That's the Marlins' final game in their original stadium. Also in the National League, Milwaukee beat Pittsburgh 7-3, San Diego 9-2 over Chicago, and L.A. beat Arizona 7-5. Back to the American League, where Johnny Peralta hit a tie-breaking homer in the 8th inning to lift Detroit past Cleveland 5-4. Miguel Cabrera all but clinched the league batting title, going 2-for-4 and raising his average to .344. Toronto beat the White Sox 3-2 after a pair of bases-loaded walks in the 9th inning. Minnesota avoided a 100-loss season as they beat Kansas City 1-0. Also, it was Texas over the Angels 3-1 and Oakland beating Seattle by a final of 2-0. In other baseball news, Ozzie Guillen was introduced as the Florida Marlins' new manager yesterday, confirming what Guillen had mentioned a couple of days earlier. Guillen's website leaked the news late Monday that he had agreed to take the job, and he tweeted Tuesday that he was in Miami and ready to go. He led the White Sox to the 2005 World Series championship and was with Chicago for 8 seasons before he asked to be let out of his contract on Monday. The Seattle Mariners and the Oakland Athletics will open next season in Japan with a 2-game series at the Tokyo Dome on March 28th and 29th. The teams will also play 2 yet-to-be-scheduled exhibition games during that trip. The teams will leave their spring training homes in Arizona on March 22nd and return to Arizona on March 30th. The series would feature Mariners outfielder Ichiro Suzuki and A's designated hitter Hideki Matsui if Matsui returns to Oakland in 2012. Major League Baseball's average attendance rose by about half of 1% this year, ending 3 straight seasons of drops. The 30 teams combined to average 30,229 people. That's according to Stats Incorporated, Stats LLC, they said after the regular season ended last night. That was up from 30,067 last year per game, but remained nearly 8% below the record of 32,785, which was set in 2007. During the Great Recession of December 2007 to June of 2009, the average dropped to 32,528 in 08 and 30,350 in the following year. Cleveland had the biggest percentage increase. They were up 31% to an average of 22,726. Other teams with big jumps were Pittsburgh at 22% and Texas was up 18%. Despite a thrilling run to the AL wildcard, Tampa Bay dropped a big league high 19% to just 18,846 fans per game. The LA Dodgers, beset by financial problems and a bitter divorce for owner Frank McCourt, fell 18% and failed to draw $3 million in a non-strike year for the first time since 1992. Houston, which lost a team record 106 games, saw their attendance drop by 11%. Interim Big 12 Commissioner Chuck Ninus says he's confident that Missouri will stay in the Big 12. Missouri is the latest Big 12 school in the spotlight, considering whether to stay in the conference or move to another league. It's been reported that Missouri was eyeing a move to the Southeastern Conference when it looked as if Texas, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech could be heading to the Pac-12. The Big 12 has already lost Texas A&M to the SEC. Last week, Oklahoma President David Boren said all nine remaining schools had agreed to grant their top-tier television rights to the conference for 6 years. Missouri Chancellor Brady Deaton wouldn't go that far, though, saying that members would pursue that deal. NCAA President Mark Emmert has a stark reminder for university leaders amid all the conference realignment. In an interview with the Associated Press yesterday, Emmert says he wants to change the perception that realignment is all about money. He said this is not the NFL, the NBA. It's not a business. He urged school leaders to consider other factors when making decisions about conference affiliation. Emmert says he wants university presidents to determine whether travel costs or more missed classes would be too steep a price to join a new conference. Well, the attorney for Jordan Jefferson says LSU has lifted its suspension imposed on the quarterback after a grand jury reduced charges stemming from Jefferson's involvement in a bar fight. Jefferson is now charged with simple battery in connection with the August 19th brawl. The grand jury Wednesday also cleared reserve linebacker Josh Johns of any charges. University of Minnesota says football coach Jerry Kill has returned to practice 3 days after checking into the Mayo Clinic to seek treatment for his seizures. Kill had a seizure at the end of a loss to New Mexico State on September 10th. Kill returned to coach the next two games, a win over Miami of Ohio and a loss to North Dakota State. He says that he has suffered multiple seizures in the last few weeks, including one on Sunday that prompted him to seek further examination. A wide receiver, John Baldwin, says he's doing everything he can to get back on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs. The first-round draft pick has been inactive for the first three games of the season, all of them losses, after hurting his right thumb in a locker room incident with teammate Thomas Jones. Speaking for the first time since training camp, Baldwin declined to go into details about the injury Wednesday, but the cast is off his right hand, and he's been catching some balls in practice, and he's closer than ever to contributing to a Chiefs team that's been ransacked by injuries. Baldwin isn't sure whether he'll play Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings, but he did say whenever the coaching staff and trainers say I'm ready to go, that's when I'll play. In other NFL news, a badly bruised hand isn't going to keep Michael Vick off the field. The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback practiced Wednesday and said there's a 100% chance that he starts Sunday against San Francisco. Vick was initially diagnosed with a broken non-throwing hand after getting hurt in a 29-16 loss to the New York Giants 3 days ago, but tests on Monday revealed he had a contusion on his right hand. Two-time Pro Bowl defensive end O.C. Umanyora practiced with the New York Giants for the first time since undergoing arthroscopic knee surgery in early August. The Kansas City Chiefs have swapped out tight ends, re-signing Jake O'Connell and releasing Anthony Becht. The Baltimore Ravens have placed cornerback Dominique Foxworth on injured reserve after he failed to sufficiently recover from a knee injury. The Colts put linebacker Gary Brackett and safety Melvin Bullitt on injured reserve, ending the season for two of Indianapolis's defensive starters. Cleveland rookie defensive tackle Phil Taylor has been fined $7,500 by the NFL for a hit on Miami quarterback Chad Henne on Sunday. The San Diego Chargers have placed Bob Sanders on injured reserve with a knee injury, ending the season for the often injured strong safety. Tennessee defensive end Jason Jones says the NFL has fined him $15,000 for his hit on Denver quarterback Kyle Orton last weekend. And Vikings running back Adrian Peterson missed practice Wednesday with a sore calf muscle. And in racing news, NASCAR made no major changes to the 2012 Sprint Cup Series schedule, aside from flipping a few race dates and moving the start of the season back 1 week. The Daytona 500 opens the season on February 26th. That's 1 week later than usual. NASCAR had to schedule 38 races over 40 weeks because of that later start to the season. Kansas Speedway had its race moved from June to April to accommodate a plan to pave the track. Talladega Super Speedway's race in April was moved to May, and its October date was pushed up earlier in the month, so Kansas had more time for its paving project. The first race at Dover was moved back to May after a few years of running in June. Because of when July 4th falls, Kentucky Speedway's date was moved up to the week before Daytona instead of the week after. And NASCAR didn't release the nationwide or truck schedules as part of that effort yesterday. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.